Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with David Barham, administrator of GSA, and Martha Johnson, the chief of staff. Joining me is Pat McNamee, also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. We were just talking before we went to the break about your careers, and you indicated that you came to government, David, even though you knew it was going to be difficult. What attracted you to leaving the private sector and joining government?
Well, you know, the president asked me, and I used to think when I'd hear people say that, that was baloney. But the fact, simple fact is I did care to have this guy be elected. I wanted him to be. I thought he was. I still think he's, you know, the right guy and done a good job. So when my time sort of came, and my younger of two kids was just about to graduate from college, and I thought, you can't say no to this kind of thing. You know, you cared about this guy being in the office, and he wants you to help. Got to do it. And I thought, let me see, that it could be a great opportunity. It could be some interesting stuff. And it's been a wonderful experience. I mean, I never thought about doing it. I never wanted to do it. I don't expect to do it again. And it certainly isn't going to last forever. But it's been a great honor and a great experience.
What was your biggest surprise?
I don't know that I was – nothing really surprised me hard. I'm fairly optimistic, and I really have thought we could change – the rules and there'll be way that you can manage people a little faster. We being the broad whole administration, the whole government. That's frustrated me. And it's sort of borne out what people have said to me. Don't try to, Dave, why are you even trying to change that stuff? You know, you're kidding. Lots of other people have gone to Washington and they've failed at it. So why are you going to be any different? Well, I don't think you ever can. I don't want to do anything that I don't feel like I'm actually pushing and changing what I think needs to be changed. But that has been a tough surprise. I'm surprised at the meanness of this town, too. The partisanship is really incredibly counterproductive to getting things done, and I'm sorry about that.
Well, Martha, just a minute ago, you also mentioned some of the challenges of managing staff. I guess given your perspective in both sectors, how is managing people in the government different?
I find it frustrating. And I find it frustrating because there really isn't a lot of movement you can make with people without your lawyers at your side. And that's regrettable. People are very concerned about taking any risk inside the personnel system with respect to giving feedback, to discipline, to moving jobs, changing. And that ties your hands so much. When you would like to have a conversation with someone about the opportunities across the board, it's perceived as a conversation about poor performance because movement is punishment. I hope we've changed that a bit at GSA, but that's very disheartening. It's the climate of managing people that makes it so difficult. And actually, we've pushed some of the edges of the envelope. We've done some interesting things with incentives and with movement of the executive group, but we really needed to have done a lot more.
You know, let me piggyback on that. What people have said since the time I've been here, HR people, others have said, you can do all the things you want to do. And then I'll talk to a manager who will say, sure, but I'm not going to spend the next year of my life doing that one, making that one move. Mm-hmm. So it's really disingenuous when people say you can do all those things, because of course you can, but it isn't in the natural flow of things. It is so tough to do that people don't do it, and that's really a shame. We've done an awful lot of things at GSA. Martha's been a terrific leader at this, and you know, as she said about our senior executives, we've had over half of, I would say three quarters by now, of our senior executives in just the time we've been at GSA, probably because we were there actually when you think about it, but who have changed jobs. And some of them are in the same position, but many of them are in totally new jobs. And when we made a couple of really, as Martha said, people used to think when you change jobs, it was punishment. You were being sent somewhere. Well, when we asked Dennis Fisher, who was at the time a CFO and one of the best in the government, to go run one of our big services, people said, oh, I guess it isn't punishment. I guess it's because we need a really good manager, a leader, to take over something. And he's done a terrific job there. And I think that's helped, and a number of other people have taken on new responsibilities. So we've, with respect to our senior executive team, we've had a lot of movement of people doing the key jobs. And that's really important for the rest of the organization to see that change really makes a difference. So I still give the speech, but I used to say early on that none of us are going to be doing the same job in 3 years. Now, I said that before I'd been here 3 years. But so the natural thing I would say is, well, therefore, each of us needs to be building the skills to move to the next opportunity so we can flourish in this one and the next one. Are you building your skills? And I think that people appreciate now inside of GSA that movement is a good thing. It makes the organization more vibrant, refreshes them and the organization. So we are doing a lot.
Well, it also, it's almost pile on. If people change jobs, they experience change. If the organization is changing around them and they're experiencing change, they can then begin to lead it. They can be participants in it. But if they think that they can set policies around change and not personally change, they just can't lead.
What type of skills are required by the leaders of people trying to make these changes in terms of getting the people to change jobs?
I think strategic vision is one of them. And having a large sense of direction, and then being able to adjust rapidly, because our markets change and our organizational structure needs to change to respond to how we function. So they need to know that deep inside themselves.
You know, the most important skill any of us needs to have is the ability to adapt to change. And Martha gave a speech at our first Leadership Council leadership conference, which is another great subject we could talk about, but about strategic visioning. The idea that you ought to be able to do visions in real time, that you don't set a vision for the whole year and expect it to stay. It's going to change. So if your ability to think strategically and to adjust strategically, to adapt to change, is well developed as an ability, I think you got a chance to be a good leader. Otherwise, I don't think you do. Because the world's changing too fast.
I often tell in my speeches, I say, you know, my 8-year-old son says to me, Mom, when you were 8 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I say, oh, I wanted to be the chief of staff of the General Services Administration. It is impossible these days to predict your careers. And so you have to be good at improvising, and you have to have a strategic vision about yourself and about your organization and the people around you in order to make that coherent. But you have to be able to adjust and move, and that's an improv kind of skill that we introduced, and I think it resonated. People understand the importance of that.
Her son is Lucas. Lucas, if you're listening to your mother, she was kidding, but she's a great chief of staff.
Well, that's great, and it's time for a break. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour in just a minute.